Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When it comes to parenting, there are grizzly moms, tiger moms, helicopter parents, grizzly moms shooting wolves from helicopters. Okay, that's only Sarah Palin. But what about the right amount of care and attention or angst and worry? CTFD has been put forth as a new mantra. Calm the F down. It's the same F as the F in Go the F to Sleep. I guess parents need an F like their kids need a binky. So how calm should we be? I mean, it's really easy to say don't overreact. The question is, what's over? So to parse this all out for us are two guys who have had a debate or at least a discussion about it on the pages, the virtual pages of theatlantic.com. One is Matt Groth. He's the co-founder of the parenting blog dadwagon.com and editor of bonappetit.com. Hello, Matt.
Hi there, Mike.
And Theodore Ross, also co-founder of the parenting blog Dad Wagon and regular contributor to TheAtlantic.com, author of Am I a Jew? I won't spoil the ending, but hello, Theodore.
Hi, thanks, Matt.
Did you guys disagree about this, about how much we should see the FD?
I don't think we had disagreed about the amount, but sort of the approach to it. For me, I think it's appropriate to not calm down. I think we have plenty to be worried about. And mostly, I don't really like anyone telling me how I'm supposed to feel about bringing my kids up. I resent that, and maybe it makes me a little bit more anxious.
Do you do with as an author of a parenting blog? You don't tell people how to raise kids?
I really don't. Yeah. I mean, I try to avoid that. I may make fun of their choices and the outcomes of the things that they do, but generally I try to keep myself focused on my kids and the disaster of their upbringing.
Matt?
I am an absolute adherent of CTFD.
Yeah.
I like the acronym. I like the initials. I have imbibed the waters of CTFD. I'm a very calm and maybe not collected parent, but, you know, I've got a 10-month-old kid at home right now, my second. She hits her head on coffee tables, the floor all the time. And, you know, I barely look up from the computer.
Are we saying that well, first of all, we should go back and we say it came from a Jezebel post, and it's really simple. It's not that thought out. In fact, it's kind of a perfect blog post with drives traffic. It doesn't make you think that much, which is just calm down, see rule two. If rule one is calm down, rule two is see rule one. Would you say you had different parenting styles? You know each other really well. You, Theodore, said you rejected CTFD. Are you a more intense, vigilant parent than Matt is?
I don't know that I'm a more intense or vigilant parent. I mean, we'll have to decide once our kids get into college how that all played out. But I think I'm a more higher stress individual than Matt, and, okay, and that probably plays out in terms of my kids.
I would agree with that. Ted is a little more high strung than I am. I'm happy. Everything is going okay. So what do I have to worry about?
Yeah, well, maybe you have to have a parenting style that fits your personality. You both could be right. And our question for parents, dads, moms out there is – you know, what do you think of CTFD? Obviously, there are so many parents who go overboard, but I wanted to bring up a couple of, you know, Alcoa type, you make the calls to see how calm you should be about it. But our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Okay, we all know you shouldn't go ape if your kid cuts his or her knee, scrapes a knee. How about this? Two kids, one swimming pool, one parent. The kids are okay swimmers. What do you say, Theodore?
Two kids. Say that again.
Two kids, but only one parent in the pool. The kids are okay swimmers.
Well, keep a close watch, but
is that acceptable?
Okay. If they can swim, sure.
A little bit. How much do they have to swim? What if they need swimmies?
The swimmies, I wouldn't think it would make it easier because then they're going to float.
And Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, if I was the parent, I would sit on the edge and have a beer.
You're somewhere, you don't have car seats, you got to drive 2 miles with the kids. They're 4 years old in the back. Do you do it, Theodore?
If you can't be seen, then potentially yes. And don't alert my any law enforcement along those lines. I'm talking in theory here, of course.
Matt?
Dude, this is New York City. I mean, you take a cab, who carries a car seat around with them? I got to get home, it's raining. The four and a half year old, the 10-month-old, whatever, we'll just hold on tight and trust the man in front.
That's what I always say. Everyone goes nuts about the car seats. I'm like, you take a cab. Those guys aren't good drivers, and there are really strong partitions between
you. Yeah, but it's much safer in the cab. Everybody knows that.
And, you know, we made it this far. We grew up in the 70s, right?
Yeah, barely. Roy from Roosevelt Island. How are you doing, Roy?
Yes, I'm doing very well. And I sort of come across somewhere in the middle. I happen to be 83 years old, and I have 11-year-old twins, so that I had a different experience with my older children. You didn't have safety belts and car seats and stuff like that. But now we do, and so that I conform to those things, and also I am much calmer and much more acceptable of, you know, the tribulations of childhood, call it. And they don't get me as much, and I think the kids profit from it. They are a lot more adventurous, and I'm a lot calmer.
How old did you say you were?
Yeah, that always gets them. 83.
83. And you have 11-year-olds. Way to go.
11-year-olds with
yeah, he has nothing to worry about at all.
My oldest son is 51.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's pretty cool because you could be calm because you could say, well, I remember during World War II.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Roy. And let's go to a mom, Liz, in Bayshore. Hey, good morning, and go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling. I've got teenagers now, but I remember very well the early days. And I was stunned in a gathering of mothers and dads in our preschool because I realized there was this strong pattern. This is years ago, before this wonderful acronym you've got for us. Mm-hmm. And they were all talking about the stress of their child acting up, but they were really talking about what is everybody else thinking of me as I respond to my child's alleged misbehavior. That it was really all about everybody's perception of them as a good or more likely bad parent. And in the same gathering, my friend probably preceded all of your insights today by saying, I tell myself I am being calm. My kid is completely falling apart, but I am remaining calm. And I found that so helpful.
Well, thanks, Liz. I think that pretty much dovetails with your philosophy, Theodore, which is, you know, your comment on the post was the original CTFD post was this is not the things that parents are worried about. Everything that the original writer, David Viena, was saying is just worried about what other parents think of you.
Right. He was writing about the externalities of parenting. Yeah. But I think he was getting at a real source of stress, which is that we as parents in the public sphere, out in the world with our children, are well aware that there's just not enough stuff for us. So when our kids are in school and we're freaking out that they're not learning how to do their ABCs right, it's not because we really think that our child is underperforming. We're just aware that there's a big classroom of kids, and only the best ones out of those kids are really going to get the attention that they deserve. So that fear is real, and there's a reason for it. That's what I mean.
Yeah, and you know it. There is the idea, dueling ideas in this country. One is idea of community, but the reality is, you know, sink or swim. You've got to get yours, and there are fewer public resources out there. So maybe this is a reaction to how the world seems to be developing.
I would love it if there were more community, but in a place where you have to sort of lobby your way into pre-K, I don't know if that's really a realistic approach to the world that we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where calming down just helps so much.
Uh-huh.
You know, my kid is going to a kindergarten that's our zone school next year. We didn't apply for any other schools because it was just too much trouble. She's going to go to a fine school. It'll be okay. It's not the best in the city, but what are we going to do?
Well, that's great because there's more for us.
See, I'm doing a public service by just not caring.
But you checked out that the school wasn't a hellhole.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she went to pre-K last year. There last year. It's fine. It's going to be okay.
Are you going to be active in the PTA, or would that be too much not calming down?
I have a job. I don't have time to do PTA stuff. I'll leave it to my neighbors and people I trust.
Let's go to Penny in the Bronx. Hello, Penny.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention it, maybe slightly on or off topic, but I'm not a parent, but I have two young nieces and a nephew. They're 4 and 7, and I've been taking care of them since they were babies. And one thing that I've really noticed in observing parents is that there's a lot of helicopter parenting or sort of compared to what went on in my generation when I was growing up, overprotectiveness about the children's physical safety. But I don't see a lot of, I see a lot of reverses in terms of the kids' social skills, even starting from a young age. I feel like so often when I've been in grocery stores or taking the kids here or there on errands, I am the only one that I ever hear saying, step aside for the lady, move aside, you know, say excuse me when you go past someone. And you have to reinforce that over and over and over and over and over. And it's a pain in the neck. That's a lot of reason why it doesn't get done, because really raising kids to be responsible members of society is tedious. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And I sometimes feel like, what happened to that, like, concern about teaching children to be considerate of others and think of others first?
Right.
I don't see it anymore.
Well, thanks for the call, Penny. I absolutely think that there is a miscalculation of risk. And so, you know, if kids go out on a bike without knee pads, it is so not the end of the world. We think that the most dire things are going to happen to them, and they're not. But Theodore, you were shaking your head a little bit when Penny was saying that manners have fallen by the wayside.
Well, I don't know if manners have fallen by the wayside more for children than other segments of the society. But what I do feel, when I'm walking down the street with my kids, I live in Brooklyn, and my child may run out in front of me and bump into somebody and they get all upset. I spend a lot of my time correcting my children's behavior and trying to get them to behave in the appropriate manner. But if something like that happens, I really am not all that concerned how you as the other person feel about it. It's enough to get my kids through the day, and that's where the CTFD bit goes out the window, and I switched to other acronyms.
You know what you have to worry about is process, not product. So if they're doing the right thing and every once in a while someone gets bumped, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's crowded here. What are you going to do?
And yet every time they ask for water or juice or milk without thank you, you have to say, you must say please, you must say thank you. But it's a vigilance that, you know, here's my whole philosophy. If someone says the way to get through parenting is to put in less effort, you're totally wrong. You have to put in so much effort, but you have to make the effort enjoyable. That's the thing. Like, you have to work with your kids every day to do everything from learning how to dress themselves to learning how to read to learning how to do this stuff. If you're hating it, the solution is not, oh, I could put in less work. If you're hating it, you got to get to a place where you love doing this
And if
stuff.
You're stressed out about it all the time, you're not going to be enjoying it.
Yes. And if you're doing it, and this, Theodore, I think gets to what you're saying, since the original post was so much a reaction of other people, if your motivation is to live up to someone else's standards or the vague, you know, perception of someone else's standards, you won't enjoy parenting.
I also don't think you want those kids to notice all the work you're putting in, that you don't want them to see your stress. So you may be feeling whatever you may be feeling, but you want to express to the children an atmosphere of calm if you can.
Yeah. You don't want to be a downer or a bummer. Like, in the morning, I had wonderful parents, but whenever I would say, I'm tired, I'd always get, I'm tired too, we're all tired. I never say that. Like, it's just a downer and a bummer. I'm like, yes, well, I know, but don't worry. Soon you'll be playing in the fields.
When the kids are teenagers, I think we all become downers and bummers.
Yes.
When they're little, we can be cheerful. When they're older, we're going to ruin their lives.
Uh-huh. Give me I know you debate on The Atlantic every so often. Tell me – give me a short pitch for Dad Wagon. What's the sort of discussion that goes on there?
Dad Wagon is all about the joys and miseries and further miseries and occasional other joys about being a dad in New York. It's funny and miserable.
Mm-hmm.
That's about right.
Joys and miseries. And I should say that the original that it was David Vienna who coined CTFD, and then he translated that to German, and he found out that in German, CTFD would just be called Relax, damn it, which seems to be an unrelaxing way to think about parenting. But I want to thank you guys both, Matt Gross and Theodore Ross. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This has been Mike Pesca. I've been serving time for Brian Lehrer. It sounds like a parole situation, but I've enjoyed it. Take care.